Amen. Good to see you all. See your mouths. Who's enjoying no masks? I'm loving it. Very good. Well, it's lovely to be here and be able to share with you today. Last week as I was in the service, I was just looked around and God just put in my heart. He said, look at these people. These people are just so precious to me. And you might not feel like someone that special, but God was reminding me to remind you that you are precious. You have incredible value, not only to Him, but to this body. We are a body of Christ, of believers, because of those who are here. And we want to add to that. And part of my privilege today is to share on missions and that God's kingdom would come as Jesus prayed. Some of you probably think that I leave the service halfway through every week because I trottle out there with my daughter. But I do come back, I promise. I'm just going out to the room there sometimes so you cannot be distracted. But I've got a beautiful wife, Claudia, and my two-year-old daughter, Bella. And we've been overseas missionaries for almost 11 years, both in Brazil and Thailand, and that was an exciting time, and God's called us back to Australia for now, so we don't really understand it, but He knows. Our heart, we'd love to be still in Thailand, but God's given me this opportunity to hopefully inspire you today and encourage you, and my heart is that we would really connect again with our missionaries in this church. There's beautiful people that some are from this church and some we've adopted from outside. And so I'd like you to be able to see just a little bit of them today. So we're going to just have a little video to start with and then I'm going to share. So far away. We've been having a bit of trouble with the audio on that one. Let's try again.
Which is a ministry that trains up English teachers as well as other things. One of those other things.
There you go, got audio, now just need an image.
Hi, Stephen Jan Warren here. We've been serving with Youth and Mission in Perth for the last 29 years.
We've been leading English ministries on our base, which is a ministry that trains up English teachers as well as other things. One of those other things includes being able to offer certificates that are accredited to our TESOL graduates around the world so that they can have a qualification that doesn't reflect back to missions. And Steve and I have been running that now for about 10 years. The other thing that I've been involved with is that as a point person for all of our language colleges around the world in the University of the Nations, I'm involved in mentoring other English trainers. Not just the teachers, but the trainers of the teachers. And so I've been helping other people pioneer new TESOLs around the world. And currently we've got one running in Paris that I've been mentoring the trainer for. I've also got one coming up shortly in Italy. And the leader there is one of my past students, which is really exciting. We hopefully have another one coming up in Korea in the next year or so. Again, she was one of my students in the last school that we just ran. And so it's exciting to see what God is doing in nations through English teaching. But not only that, we're also training up English teachers for the local church. And one of my graduates from last year is currently pioneering an English ministry out of her local church here in Perth to reach out to the local migrants in her area. And it's exciting being able to serve the nations and also serve locally with our churches in the city wanting to reach out to all sorts of different people, either backpackers or refugees or migrants. And so it's being able to help people, reach people through evangelism with the loving heart of God is so exciting.
We just want to thank you as a Hillside family for your prayer and support over the years. We certainly couldn't have persisted so long in serving in missions without your absolute support. Amen. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hello, my name is Pastor Godfrey Tinker from Kampala, Uganda. This is my wife, Rebecca, and these are the beautiful children that God has given me. We want to thank you, Hillside Church family, and Pastor Kerry and your family for supporting our ministry work here in Uganda. May the Lord richly bless you.
We are so grateful for the support we receive from Hillside Church Australia. It has really enabled us to have food as a family, and also to meet the home expenses.
Rebecca is our pastor at Hillside Church Kataremwa here in Kampala. I am also involved in overseeing other 5 churches in different regions in Uganda, and we are involved in feeding refugee children and weekly feeding and discipleship children of refugee children in the Chaka refugee camp. God has also given me a blessing to empower church leaders and the sportsmen on how to use sports to make disciples for Christ. Thank you so much, and God richly bless you.
Hello, I'm Leila. I have been living in Turkey for 15 years. I was born in Turkish Muslim family in Kazakhstan. I have been teaching in Turkey for 7 years in private schools. I'm working with students, and I have 230 students. I'm working with 5th, 6th, and 7th graders. I'm teaching for 4 years, some of them for 3 years, some of them 2 and 1 years. I'm building everyday relationship with parents. In our school, it's compulsory to call parents often. So it's a good way to connect with parents, and often I pray for parents. I ask parents, could I pray? And also I have many, many friends which I met at university and from my old school and my old neighbors. Some of them I have known for 15 years, and some of them 10 years. And there are many people who I share gospel, and I share what Jesus did for my life, and try to help them, try to ask them for prayers. So my life mainly about sharing gospel with people whom I have daily connection. This is what I want to share with you.
Everyone, this is Pastor Joshua Lal from India, and this is my wife Khushi. And God has blessed us with 2 children, and God is going to bless us with another child in the month of October. So keep us in prayers.
Hello, everyone, and Hillside Church. We are so grateful to you all, especially for your love and kindness and support for us and for our family, church. We always pray for you. Please continue to pray for us, and please continue to encourage us with your love, and we love you all. Thank you.
We also want to thank church for standing with us at the time of when it was a difficult time and difficult situation. We thank you for all your support. By your support, we were able to help our church families, those who've been going through a difficult time. Some of them, they haven't got their salaries. Some of them, they lost their jobs. Some of them, they were unable to pay the fees. There are various sort of things, but we were really thank God for helping us to help them. And by your prayers, by your help, we were able to do a lot of things for them. And may God bless you and continue to pray for us. God bless you all.
Exciting, hey? That's our missionaries. Quality people. I saw Jared and Janice smiling there, and Pastor Godfrey was sharing. Some of you have had the opportunity to go and see some of these missionaries on the field. And hopefully there's more opportunities coming up. So the first slide, if we can get that across. Thanks, Simon and John, for organising that. Let's look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 10. And this is part of the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. And he was saying, I want to pray that the Father's kingdom would come, that your kingdom would be done, that your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is what we exist for, to bring God's will and his kingdom and heaven here on earth. Many people saying, like, the world is in chaos, everything's a mess, we can't trust anyone, but we can trust God. And the church worldwide is responsible to bring heaven here on earth. Many of us are wanting to get to heaven so that we can forget about earth, but there's people still here that haven't had the opportunity to get in, to understand, to hear the gospel. And that's what Jesus and the Father are waiting for. They're waiting for the nations to come in, those who still haven't heard, to come in before he can return again. So it's up to us. We have some kind of part in when Jesus comes back as a church, the global church. See, Jesus was always seeking to do his Father's will, because he knew that if the Father's will was done, then his kingdom would come. When we do the works of Satan, as the Bible puts it, when we do what isn't God's will, then Satan's kingdom is built. And that's the result we see, wars and strife and murder and everything that we're seeing on the news at the moment. While I hear many saying, Jesus, please come back now, there are many missionaries saying, Lord, not yet. There's still more souls to be won. Not yet, Lord. There's still more. Pastor Godfrey, there's still more. Pastor Joshua, there's still more. John, Stephen, Jan Warren, there's still more that need to hear the gospel in these persecuted countries that can't have an active missionary with a title, but they can go in as an English teacher and share the gospel, like Layla is doing. No, we can't show her face and tell people outside this body where she is, because she's in such a persecuted and a difficult situation, but we have the privilege here this morning just to hear a little bit from her. Today I'm focusing on missions, its importance, and how we can be involved. For those who aren't familiar with what missions is, it's about sharing the gospel to another people or group, generally going overseas, but it can be local as well. So we can be missionaries here in Perth, as Jan was sharing on that video. We can be missionaries more than ever. The nations are coming to us. You know, you go to a shopping centre and sometimes you feel like the odd one out. There's so many nations here in Perth. I think it's amazing. It's beautiful. Slide number two. Thanks, guys. Many of us know this powerful scripture, and it's Jesus commissioning the disciples before he returned to the Father. He said, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you until the end of the age. Go, as you go, make disciples. It's imperative that we go. We're always going. As we go out, make disciples. And you're not alone, because he's with us until the end of the age, until he comes back. The commission, we know the root word of co is to cooperate. It speaks of cooperation, of like a co-founder founds a business together, a coordination. It's getting involved. We're doing this with Jesus, and us as a church are doing this with the missionaries. It's a partnership with God the Father, His Son, and the Holy Spirit. We as a church are called to support missionaries and uplift them as they build God's kingdom to godless people and nations. When Claudia and I were in Thailand, we had the opportunity to visit the border town of Mesot a number of times. And on one particular occasion, we got to go across the border into Burma. And it's this big, long bridge, and we're walking across, and there's hundreds and hundreds of Burmese people coming across into Thailand to work for the day. They'll walk for kilometres just to work, and then at night they'll go back home. We got to spend probably 5 or 6 hours in Burma one day and just speaking with one of the military guys there, and the sensation in that country was just so heavy. It felt like a place where God wasn't there. You know, just from one side, you know, Thailand's not a Christian nation by any means, but the difference, even in the landscape, you could see that this place is so much evil, so much hatred, so much despair. And we felt it in our bodies. And as we came back over to the Thai side, it was like something lifted off us. There's a spiritual battle. And these missionaries are living that day in, day out. That's why it's important for us to be behind them, to stand with them. We as Christians are called to go and to make disciples, to leave the place where we are and to move, to make action, to make steps and conscious efforts at a cost to us. Every movement in direction of others will cost us in something. What are we doing as a church sacrificially to bring God's kingdom here on earth? What more can we be doing? I know for a small church, we do support a lot of missionaries, and that was only a snapshot of who we actually support. There are others that weren't able to send a video. Maybe we'll get to hear from them another time. But I want to encourage you. We're doing great things, but we can do more. We can be involved more. Next slide. Thanks, guys. When the Son of God, Jesus, took on flesh to walk among humanity, He became the conduit of God's mission, seeking to bring salvation to all who hungered and to make hungry all who did not realize their need for what He was bringing. As Jesus became the way for salvation, He made disciples, raising them up to be His body of believers on earth for the coming generations. I love that. Jesus was a conduit for God's mission. And us, by default, as His disciples, are also a conduit for His mission. I love how it says that He came to all who hungered and to make hungry all who did not realize they needed Him. There's many people even around us, our neighbors, they don't realize they need Jesus. The gospel message has always been a hope for the nations, and God's heart is that people from every tribe and tongue and nation would know Him and worship Him. The gospel message is not meant to be kept inside these four walls. It's meant to be shared. We look at the Old Testament and how God spoke to the Israelites even back then. Next slide. Thanks, guys. You know, missions didn't start just with the commission of Jesus sending out His disciples. It started way back with Abraham. God spoke to him under a starry sky and He said, "Look up and see all these stars. As many as you can count, these will be your sons and daughters." And Genesis 12:3, it says, "I'll bless those who bless you. I'll curse those who curse you. And all the families on earth will be blessed through you." We as the church, we have that inheritance, and Abraham was called out of a place where they're worshipping idols, worshipping other things, and he was called out from his family to the promised land, to Canaan. He didn't know where he was going. He didn't know what kind of people would be there. He didn't know what he would face, but he went. He obeyed the Lord, and we are the inheritance of Abraham. Israel is the inheritance of Abraham. We know the story of God sending Jonah to Nineveh, even though he didn't want to. Nineveh, a nation that he knew by prophecy would persecute the Israelites. God called Jonah and said, you've got to go and tell them. You've got to go and wake them up. Remind them to repent and come to me. We've got missionaries going to places where they know they're going to be persecuted. They know they're going to be mistreated. In China, there's people having their organs taken out. There's people being tortured right this day for the gospel, for this message. But they know it's so precious they can't keep their mouth shut. God sent Peter to the house of Cornelius, and we know he was resistant because he hadn't understood that the message was not just for the Israelites. It's not just for the church. It's for those outside. That's why we exist as a body. You know, there's thousands and thousands of clubs all over the world, and they exist for their members. The church is the only institution that exists for its non-members. We're about those who haven't yet come in. That's what the gospel is. Paul and Barnabas were sent out two by two from Jerusalem. They were anointed, set apart, and sent out. The church was responsible for sending them out. It's not about the missionary just going by themselves. It's a partnership. It's like holding the cord as they go over the wall. We are supporting them. We are the anchor for these missionaries. You are the anchor for those missionaries. We know the disciples too. They were understood the call to go. They went out to India, to Africa, to other parts of the East, to Spain and other regions. Next slide, thanks guys. So what's the point of missions and preaching the gospel? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. John 14:6. There's no other way for people to come to the Father, to go to heaven, than through Jesus Christ. Many people say there's more than one way to heaven, there's more than one way to the Father. You can follow any religion, they all lead to heaven. How can they? They're all so different. They're all serving man, but our faith has been tried and tested. Jesus is alive. He died and rose again. He's a living, breathing word of God. Romans 10:13-14 says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they've not heard? And how can they hear without someone to preach to them? They say that of those that are called to missions, those that receive a personal call and God speaks to them, less than 5% actually make it to the mission field. It's a staggering number, isn't it? Only 5% or less than. And of those missionaries that do go, only 2% are in the Asia belt, the Asia region. All the others are spread out around the rest of the world. The gospel started in Israel, went to Greece, to Rome, all through Europe, to South America, North America, all through Africa. But Asia is the final frontier. They need missionaries in Asia, and that's why we felt called to go, because we felt Thailand was a strategic place. It's a place that relatively open to the gospel, and from there there's missionaries that go out to China, they go out to Burma, to Cambodia, to Laos, and those around. About three Christmases ago, we had the opportunity to go on an outreach to a village. We travelled 7 hours by car to one village, and then another 2 hours in four-wheel drive, driving up a river, all the way up to this remote village. And we got to share the gospel message, the Christmas message there, and at the end of the message, we asked them, who's heard of the name of Jesus before? None of them had heard of the name of Jesus. None of them knew who he was. They had no idea. There's places like that that still exist in this world. We feel like we've got so much access to information and everything, and everyone should know by now. But no, there's people that still don't know. Up in the mountains, they still haven't heard. They need someone to go, to tell them, to share the message. Another village that we went to, we had the opportunity to visit in one of the houses, and we sat in there and I was speaking to one of the men, and he just looked so despondent and so down, and I was asking through the translator, you know, what's his story? And they said he used to be part of the church here, but he is no longer. And I said, why is that? And they said, well, when he became a Christian, he got so attacked spiritually in his health and his family that he decided to run away from the faith, to leave the faith. And I said to him, who do you think is more powerful, Jesus or the spirits? And he said, the spirits. And it made me so sad that there wasn't a message, there wasn't a demonstration in that village yet of the power of the Holy Spirit in their lives. You know, we were able to prophesy as a team. We prophesied over people. We had words of knowledge and vision of faithful women that had been there praying for 20 years. And we just prayed that the Holy Spirit would come to that village, that they would be transformed, that the powers of darkness would be pushed back with the power of the gospel and the true message of Jesus Christ. Next. Thanks, guys. I saw this quote just a little while ago and I thought it was interesting to read. Tough times create strong men. Strong men create easy times. Easy times create weak men. Weak men create tough times. Many won't understand, but you need to raise warriors, not parasites. All great empires, the Persians, the Trojans, the Egyptians, the Greeks, the Romans, and in latter years, the British, all rose and perished within 240 years. They were not conquered by external enemies, they rotted from within. America has now passed that 240-year mark, and the rot is starting to be visible and is accelerating. These kingdoms rise and fall, they come and go, but the kingdom of God will last forever. His kingdom is being established today in us, through us, as the church, as the global church. His kingdom is being established. We saw through Israel, God used them as an example to us, as a warning to us. They became strong in the Lord. They reminded themselves of the commandments. They reminded themselves of God's blessings. And as they forgot, they became weak. And they were pulled out into exile. And with time, God raised up the remnant and they remembered again. They got out the scriptures again. And God called them to be strong again. And when they forgot and were captured again, God called them back again. He said, no, you are my people. Don't follow these other idols. Don't follow these other gods. You are my people. And that's the message that we are declaring. These nations are God's people. They don't belong to the powers of darkness. They are God's people. We are declaring it in Jesus' name. We as a nation, as a globe, have faced tough times of late. But as we draw near to God, He will strengthen us. You know, the church, more than ever, has been called to prayer. To hide themselves in Jesus. Not hide themselves from the world, but hide themselves in Jesus so they might be strengthened, so that we might be strong men and women, so that we might create a space for those to come behind us and go further and deeper with the gospel message. Jesus Just as the disciples persevered under Roman persecution, we too must be strong and resilient in the face of opposition from every side. Now, Christianity spread from just 13 followers and believers to now it's estimated there's 2.38 billion Christians today. And Islam is 1.92 billion at the moment, but they estimate by 2050 they're going to catch up to us as Christians. Let's not let that happen. Those Islam nations, they need to hear the gospel. There's people preparing to go. We need to stand with them. If we remain quiet, Islam will advance. But if we speak up, the gospel will overcome. The gospel message that Jesus died and rose again and made atonement for our sins to satisfy the wrath of God and make a way for us to be in relationship with the Father, our Creator, once again, is the only hope for this world, the only hope for this lost and dying world. The problem is, we as a church globally haven't always shared this message, and sometimes we've hindered it. We've hidden the great news. Let's look at what Jesus thought about what was happening at his time. Can we go to the next? We've got one behind that. Back one more. That's all right. Might not have put one in. So Matthew 21:12, it talks about how Jesus, before he knew he was going to be betrayed and crucified, he went to Jerusalem. And he was staying in Bethany with Mary and Martha, and he decided that he needed to go into Jerusalem that day, and he wanted to see the temple and to see what was happening. I imagine he was saying, I'm about to go. I need to see what is the state of the faithful of Israel. Where are they up to? Where are their hearts? And as he went into the temple, he observed what was going on around, and he looked. And one of the Gospels says he had time to make a whip. So he spent a bit of time there, and he was filled with righteous anger when he saw in the outside courts there was tables set up with people selling things, money lenders and exchangers selling things. And the Bible says he was enraged. He started turning the tables over, kicking things, saying, "Get out of here. Get out of this place. You are blocking the way." And that court where that was happening was called the Court of the Gentiles. And that place was meant for those who weren't Israelites to be able to come and to worship God. During the Passover time, the Jews would set up tables there and they would collect the temple tax. Jesus didn't have a problem with that. That was part of what they did. But in order to pay the temple tax, you needed to have a certain currency, a certain type of coin. And so the foreigners who brought other coins with images of Caesar or other gods on their coin, that was idolatry if they were to hold that. So they had to exchange their coins for this coin to pay the temple tax. And so they would be charged exorbitant interest on their exchange. And so not only was the space where these Gentiles, in a way, be worshipping God, would be taking up, but the opportunity to come was being taken away because they were being extorted, overcharged. Those who brought a lamb or an animal to be sacrificed, some of the Jews would find faults on it that weren't even there, so they had to buy another one, abusing the power. And Jesus was angry. He said, "This place is a place for worship for all nations. Stop getting in the way of what my Father wants to do here." And he chastised them. And he speaks to us today as well. Are there things in our churches, in our hearts, that are blocking from the message getting out? We don't have tables selling things here, but in our hearts, we can have things that block space for worship. Space in our hearts, in our minds for worship when we fill it up with other things. The missions is done as a response to God's call. Missions is done that others might hear, and it's done in partnership. Next slide, thanks. In Philippians 4:10-19, we read about what Paul said to the church that supported him. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving or receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Not that I desire your gifts, what I desire is that more be credited to your account. I have received full payment and more than enough. I'm amply supplied now that I've received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God, and my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ. The Paul here was thanking the church for partnering with him. He said, I've been in need, and you have sent. You've sent funds. You've sent gifts. You've sent fragrant offerings. You've sent people. Another text, he said, thank you for sending Timothy to encourage me. Thank you for sending Mark to encourage me. Thank you for sending the brothers to encourage me. And for missionaries who are out on the field, having someone come and visit or having someone call them or email and just give them a message of encouragement is powerful. Because it's draining when they're out there. They're giving of themselves. Many cases they're in circumstance where they are the strong Christian. They are the one who is the fountain, the source, but they need to be filled again as well. You know, just as in wartime, Nazi Germany failed in the Second World War when they went up into Russia because the tanks ran out of fuel. Their supply lines were too short. Let's not let that happen to our missionaries, that they burn out, that they become weary, they have to come back to the field because they're not sustained or supported enough. I'd like to share just a few encouraging stories of missionaries that we know that have remained faithful through trials and tribulations. We have a couple that went to Bible college with us in Brazil called Simon and Raquel, and they're from Guinea-Bissau in Africa. And during their time in Bible college, twice our Bible college got broken into, and they came in, stole all our laptops, stole other precious things, and like they didn't have money to even get those laptops in the first place. And we were required to submit all our assignments in with typed and everything. And in the early days, they were writing all by hand, thousands of words of assignments. And they just praised God and just said, you know, God will supply again. They've spent their time in Brazil. Now they've gone back to Guinea-Bissau. And just a couple of months ago, I was talking to Simon, and he said, I went to a prayer vigil one night a few weeks back, and I was there all night up on the mountain with some of the believers. And when I got home, my wife told me that thieves had come during the night and gone through the house. Hadn't taken much, but scared the kids silly, scared his wife. And my heart broke. He was out there on the mountain worshiping God, and this happened. For years, they haven't had electricity in their house. Praise God, they do now. And I had a daughter who, she was born in Brazil and, you know, grew up there. She was about four when they left, and she's back in Guinea-Bissau in West Africa now. And for about 3 years, she just didn't adapt to being back into Guinea-Bissau. And she said, I want to go back there. I hate this country. It's yucky. It's dirty. It's messy. I want to go back to Brazil. And Simone's heart just so heavy, you know. She's like, God's called us to be here, and my daughter doesn't want to be in my country. But they carried on, and by God's grace, he managed to help them finish their house and put electricity in. And the day his daughter came back home from school and he had electricity and he could put some cartoons on for her, she said, Daddy, I love you. Thank you, Daddy. I'm happy. I want to stay here now. Like, it was just a simple thing, like electricity for them. It's changed their family situation, their dynamic. And that's why Cloud and myself, we support them personally. We just want to be part of what they're doing because we know they're so faithful. Simone, they don't have a vehicle, they don't have a motorbike or anything. He gets on the bus every weekend, travels 160, 200 kilometers to different villages to share the gospel. He's 38 years old and he's a pastor of 9 churches. So inspiring. Another pastor we got to meet in Thailand, Pastor Ratchan, he lives on the border, and he spent many years riding a motorbike up into Burma to find out where the unreached people groups were, where the villages were that didn't have a church, didn't have someone sharing the gospel. And he discovered 330 villages that didn't have anyone sharing the gospel there, and he decided he would go by himself. So he gets on his motorbike. It's mountains full of mud. He literally gets there covered in mud. He's pushing the motorbike up the hill in some places just to get there. And he would go and just start giving medicine because they needed medicine. That was the key that God gave him. And him alone has established 5 churches, and different villages come and they meet in those churches. And like, he's just so hungry, he just wants to keep going. He said, I'm good at evangelism, but I need someone to come behind me and disciple these people. They need someone to disciple them. And Claudia, you know her, she was like, let's move there now, let's do it. But we weren't ready yet, and it wasn't our time, but the heart and the need is there. We heard today Pastor Godfrey's wife, Rebecca, saying, your contribution, Hillside, helps us have food for our family. And for those who visited or who know missionaries, if your family situation is solid, if everyone's content, then you can flourish in your ministry. But if the family is discontent, it's like someone pulling your leg, pulling you back all the time. So it's so important to invest in the families. Pastor Joshua and Cushy, they shared how during the pandemic they were to help with finance for people to pay their rent. These people got nowhere to go, and they looked to the church in times of need, and he was able to give because of our contribution, because of your contribution. Think of Steve and Jan and 29 years of their lives. Such a beautiful sacrifice of just dedicating full time to God and to what he wants to do. And they've had so many different roles in YWAM over the years, and they've had to be dynamic and change and grow. But it's beautiful to see what God is doing and the responsibilities that they have in their church. And missionaries, their hand is always open. We love Dakota and Karenna, the ones that we worked with, and you know, we talk to them often still, and they say, oh, we've just given such and such X amount of bar, and well, we found someone else needed something, or there's a pastor here that needed some sound equipment, so we've given them ours, and someone else needed a laptop, so we've given them ours. I'm like, guys, like, they're just, hearts are open, and our missionaries' hearts are open. The more that we can support them, not only financially, but physically, spiritually, the more they will be able to give, the more people will hear the message. And I want to thank you too as a church. You know, this is not a message of rebuke. It's a message of encouragement, because we as a church felt so, as missionaries, felt so encouraged and blessed by you as a church. We had teams visit in Thailand. We had elders, Pastor David and Pastor Kerry, visited us as well. And we always knew you were praying behind us. There were nights where clouds would just feel so overwhelmed and so heavy, and we woke up the next morning and we just felt fresh and new again. And we knew someone had been praying, and we'd receive an email or a text and someone said, oh, on such and such a night, I knew just God woke me up to pray for you. My own mum, so many times God's woken her up to pray for us. And the prayers that you pray in your room transform lives on the other side of the world. Don't ever underestimate the power of your prayer to uplift someone, to give new hope, to restore, to bring healing to those missionaries, to stop them from going into burnout, to refresh them, to refresh their spirit. I've got a couple of practical steps, because I'm a practical person. I like, what can I do? How can I make a change to this? And these are just some practical things that we notice as missionaries on the field that helped us. And this is how you can be helping your missionaries. It's not all about the dollar that you give, but that is part of it. So one of the things is to read their newsletters. James Bonalik, great guy, part of the missions team, he sends out the missionaries' newsletters periodically. And if you're not receiving those and you'd like to, just get in contact with him and he'll share them. But every so often our missionaries send out a newsletter just updating on what they're doing. Read it. But not only read it, respond to them and tell them you've read it. Don't just tell them you've read it. Tell them you've prayed for their prayer request. Because sometimes as we're writing this, we're like, oh, just asking people for things all the time. It feels hard to do, but we know that these prayers need to be prayed for. And that's why we ask the body to cooperate with us. That's why the church is such an important part. So read and tell them you've read their emails, their newsletters. Because it does encourage you. Tell them you've prayed for them. And not only tell them you've prayed for them, ask God for an encouraging word. Not a directive one, but an encouraging word to uplift them. A scripture, a song. Send them a song. Send them a short thing that you've heard, an encouraging message. It's so powerful to receive. I know I used to love it when I sent out the newsletter and someone would send back just one little paragraph saying, of, you know, such and such, great that you're doing that, and we're praying for this, and God's told me. And it just really encouraged us. It's fuel to keep going. Another thing you can do is send funds and do that through the church, and care packages are great too. I used to love receiving, Mum would send salt and vinegar chips or Tim Tams or choc mint biscuits, which is my poison, but It's just nice to have something from home that you can't get. You know, even people that come and do internships here in Perth with YWAM, and they asked Vegemite and different things to be sent back. It's just nice to have something from home, and that does encourage the missionaries. Another way you can go is visit. You know, the church has teams to Thailand. Hopefully that's going to happen again soon, and other missionaries. Who knows, you might be called to go and visit Layla in Turkey. So my final challenge today, and I hope you have been challenged, that God has challenged you to do more. What can I do to help his kingdom come? You know, we all know that we can share with our neighbor, we can share with our colleague, our work here, but I wanted to focus on overseas today and training, what Steve and Jan do. How can we be involved? Maybe God's put it on your heart today to be part of the next missions trip. And I believe that each member of the church should go on a missions trip at least once. It's so exciting. You know, you can be stuck in your mundane. It's tough sometimes to maintain your devotional life, whatever. Getting out on the field and seeing fresh, seeing what God does, seeing the miracles, seeing the missionaries, seeing the hunger of the people, it will renew your faith, I guarantee it. Maybe you're like the Jews in the temple and there's some areas of your heart that have been blocked, areas of worship that have been blocked, and God just wants to unblock those today. Say, Lord, I surrender those parts so that you can be there, so that others around me can see you in me, that God in the outer court of our heart can be seen to those around us. Would I have the worship team come, please? Maybe, like the Jews, we've still got some religious practices in our hearts, some prejudices against other peoples, other nations, or even our own Aboriginal peoples that stop us from sharing, that stop us from praying for the foreigner who lives next door to you, for the foreigner who's on the bus, on the train, in your workplace. Maybe God's calling you to soften your heart, to open a space for them. As a missionary, we came back to Australia to have the birth of our daughter Isabella, and we believe that we'd be going back. We thought we'd be here for 4 months. We're going to leave in April. In March, lockdown happened. And so I said, okay, we're going to be here for a bit longer. And, you know, I was able to help renovate my mum's house and different things. But as time went on, we just felt like God was saying, it's not time for you to go back yet. There's things that, particularly Claudia's health, are not good, and that's a big barrier to us. And maybe it's a different season for us. And so as a missionary, I've come back, and it's been a real time of reflecting and change. You know, when you're on the field, things are exciting and things are happening and people see you, and then you come back and you're part of a body, and maybe you're not as seen, and that's been good for me, but it's been hard because God has been saying, I'm not wanting to focus on what you're doing for me, Tim, at this time. I want you to just be with me. Just be. And there's a season for going and there's a season for coming. And as missionaries, that's one of the hardest things is when you come back. And even, you know, many of them still would love to be there. I think of Robin as well, was part of our church. The transition is challenging as well. But we have a great church. We love being a part of this church. We love you people. And I just want to encourage you. Maybe there's some little people here, or some of us older ones, that God still wants us to go. Maybe he has called you to go and be a missionary overseas. Maybe it's for a year. Maybe it's for 2 years. Maybe it's for longer. Maybe it's for a visit. Pray about it. If it's meant to be, he will provide the funds. How many times have we heard Jan and Steve get up here and say, the hour before I had to pay my airfare, the money came into the account. And that was because someone heard what God said and just obeyed. Maybe you can be the one that meets the need of that missionary overseas in their hour of need. As you open your hand, the word says that you will never go without. You will always be amply supplied. An investment in the kingdom is a guaranteed return on your investment. I'm just going to get the worship team just to sing quietly. If you'd like to come up and have some prayer today, maybe God has touched your heart. Maybe it's beating a bit fast and God's stirring something in you and you'd like some prayer for that. I'd love to pray with you. Maybe you need healing today, or you have a family member that needs healing. Maybe you just need a hug out the front here. Just as the worship team just sings one song, we'll just open the front up here. Just come and meet with God and hear him. And then Kyla will come up and direct us for our yummy lunch today.